Welcome to Prompted, the podcast where we spark imagination one writing prompt at a time. My name is Eric, and I'll be your host on this journey of creative exploration, where the boundaries between words and imagination blur. New episodes of Prompted will be released every Monday, so be sure to tune in each week for fresh inspiration. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, or you can listen directly from our website, thepromptedpodcast.org. In each episode, I explore creative writing through in-depth discussions in our deep dive segments. I will also feature my own original poetry and other writing inspired by the writing prompts from the previous week. And to keep it going, I'll share a new writing prompt at the end for you to try. I'd love to see what you're working on. Share your writing with me using the hashtag #PromptedPodcast on Blue Sky. I'm always eager to connect with listeners and hear how the prompts are inspiring you. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's creative writing journey. A good ending doesn't need to be loud or dramatic. It just needs to feel earned. Whether it's the final line of a poem, the last image in a story, or the echo that follows a short piece of fiction. We spend so much time building characters, setting up mood, crafting a rhythm or narrative, and then we just stop. Or we try too hard. Or we wrap it in a bow and hope for the best. So I want to explore what makes an ending effective. Not perfect, not definitive, not even complete in the traditional sense. Just right for the piece. We'll look at different ways endings can function, how writing prompts can guide you towards satisfying conclusions, and a few ways to practice landing the final line, no matter what kind of writer you are. Let's get into it. What makes an ending effective? Let's start by defining what I mean when I say effective ending. It's not the same as a resolved one. It's not always clear-cut. And it's definitely not one size fits all. An effective ending leaves the reader with something. Maybe it's a feeling, a question, a shiver, or even just a single vivid image that sticks in their mind. Above all, it feels intentional, like the piece knew where it was going all along. That doesn't mean it has to answer every question. In fact, some of the best endings don't answer much of anything. But they leave the reader somewhere on purpose. They also usually match the tone or rhythm of the rest of the piece. For example, a playful poem probably shouldn't end in tragedy, unless that shift is the point. And even then, that choice has to feel grounded in everything that came before. An ending doesn't have to be a resolution. It just needs to feel like the piece has reached its natural stopping point. Five ways to stick the landing. Here are five types of endings that often show up in poetry and fiction. These aren't rules, just possibilities to consider when you're asking yourself, is this the right place to stop? The echo. This is when the piece circles back, repeating an image, a phrase, or a theme from earlier in the work. The repetition gives the reader a sense of completion, like you've closed a loop. In a poem, this might be the same line repeated at the end with a new meaning. In a story, it might be an object or phrase that reappears with changed significance. The surprise, or earned twist. We all know the twist-ending trope. But in short form, it can really work if it's earned. That's the key. A good twist doesn't feel like a trick. It feels like a revelation. It sharpens everything that came before and makes you see it in a new light. The emotional pivot. This is one of my favorites. It's a subtle shift that reframes the piece emotionally. It doesn't change the facts of the story, but it leaves you feeling differently about them. It's quiet, but powerful, and often very human. A poem that ends in vulnerability, a flash piece that turns unexpectedly tender. It's less twist and more tilt. The fade out. You end on a strong image or sensory detail. There's no big moment, just a lasting impression. These are often cinematic endings. Think of it like the camera slowly pulling away. The scene keeps going, but the lens backs off and lets the story breathe. The open door. This ending doesn't try to finish the story at all. It just opens a window and lets the reader imagine what comes next. These can feel unresolved, but if they're intentional, they don't feel unfinished. In fact, the space they leave can become the most memorable part of the piece. How to find the right ending. Now that we've looked at a few types of endings that can work, how do you actually find the right one? Here are a few strategies that I have found useful. Write past the ending. Sometimes your first idea for how a piece should end comes too early. Try writing a little farther than you think you need to, like an extra stanza or an extra paragraph. Then look back and see where the real ending is. Often, it's somewhere in the middle of that extra material. Write toward the ending. Other times, it can help to start with that end in mind. Maybe you know the emotion you want to leave the reader with, or maybe you have a last line you're excited about. Use that as a compass. It can guide your choices. Ask yourself, what is this really about? It's easy to get wrapped up in plot or form and lose track of what's really at the heart of your piece. Try summing up the core idea in one sentence, just for yourself, and then ask, does the ending reflect that truth? Read it aloud. This one's simple, but powerful. Read your writing out loud. Especially in short forms, rhythm matters. The ear catches things the eye might skip. A sentence might look fine on the page, but when you say it out loud, it clunks or wanders or doesn't quite land. I read everything I write aloud. It's not just about smoothing out sentences. It helps me figure out what I've actually written. And honestly, I do this with other people's writing too. If I'm not quite sure what someone's trying to say, or something feels off, I read it out loud. It's one of the fastest ways to figure out whether the issue is with the writing or just how I was reading it. When it comes to endings, reading aloud can be a kind of gut check. If the final line lands with clarity, rhythm, or emotional weight, then I know I've found it. If I stumble, hesitate, or keep going past the last line hoping something else will appear, that's a sign I haven't quite landed yet. Let writing prompts lead the way. One of the beautiful things about writing prompts is that they give your piece a shape before you even start. That shape can help guide you toward an ending, sometimes without you even realizing it. Some writing prompts hint at how a story or poem might close. If a writing prompt is something like a letter never sent, or the last place they saw each other, you already have a kind of gravitational pull toward a closing moment. Other times, you can shape your own writing prompts to practice different types of endings. Try writing a story that ends with a question, or a poem where the last line repeats the first, but in a different tone. Or challenge yourself to write a piece where the ending is just an image, no commentary, no wrap-up. And if you're curious how this actually plays out in practice, stick around for the writing ahead. The poetry and fiction you'll hear later in this episode each explore a different kind of ending, from echoes to emotional pivots to open doors. I'll also briefly share how the writing prompt that inspired each one helped me find the right way to land it, sometimes even before I started writing. Endings don't need to be final. They just need to feel like they belong. They're less about tying things up and more about landing a tone, a mood, or an insight. A great ending doesn't shut the door. It opens a space. It invites the reader to stay a moment longer, even after the words are done. So the next time you write something, whether it's from a writing prompt or not, take a moment and ask, what's the last thing I want the reader to feel? Then see if your ending takes them there. Now that we've explored what makes an effective ending, I want to share a few microfiction pieces I wrote, each one showcasing a different way to bring a story to a close. This first microfiction piece was based on a single word writing prompt, reach. In this story, I went for a twist ending, a sudden shift that hopefully catches you just a little off guard. Twist endings work well in very short fiction because there's no time to over-explain. You set up a world quickly, build a pattern or expectation, and then break it just at the right moment. A good twist doesn't just shock, it reframes everything that came before it. Here it is. She reached for the last box on the shelf. "Want help?" he asked. She smiled. "You always show up right before I disappear." He blinked. Then the box fell, and so did she, right through the floor. The aisle was empty again. The second microfiction piece was inspired by a three-word prompt: filigree, oak, and key, with the twist that I wasn't allowed to use any of those words in the story itself. The ending here is open-ended. It leaves the moment suspended, inviting you to imagine what happens next. Sometimes an ending that holds back answers can create the most lasting impact. Here it is. The gate waited at the edge of the clearing, breathing like a junkie in withdrawal, shaking, desperate, hungry. He didn't know why he kept coming back, fingers itching to touch what shouldn't be touched. The air tasted like old rust and broken promises. When he reached out, it sighed and pulled him closer, like it had been waiting for him to break first. This third microfiction piece was inspired by a line of dialogue. Let's dig down where it's damp and wrong. For this story, I used the phrase not as a direct quote, but as a shape for the atmosphere and the ending, which is an echo, a return to the core language and feeling of the prompt. Echo endings don't rely on surprise. Instead, they resonate. They repeat something essential, but with deeper weight once we've seen what came before. Here's the story. They brought shovels, not questions. The spot was marked by a crooked fence post and the kind of silence that hums in your teeth. She was the first to speak after the third shovelful. This feels wrong. He didn't stop digging. She looked back at the house. It's damp, she whispered. He smiled without looking up. And wrong, he said. Now that you've heard a few microfiction endings, let's shift into poetry. I'll share some poems I wrote that play with different kinds of endings, showing how even in verse, an ending can surprise, satisfy, or leave you thinking. This first poem was also based on the writing prompt, reach. Simple, but open to all kinds of interpretation. The poem plays with possibility and restraint, and more importantly, it ends in an open-ended way. Open-ended endings don't tie everything up. They leave space for the reader to sit with the moment, to ask, what now? Or to imagine what could follow. That kind of ending can feel especially satisfying in poetry, where tone and emotion carry just as much weight as action or resolution. Here's the poem. She stood at the edge, arm outstretched. not for rescue, not for flight, just to feel if the wind would take her. The second poem was inspired by the writing prompt Mercurial. I took that as a cue to explore emotional shifts, how unpredictable people can be, and how we learn to adapt around them. The ending here is circular. It brings us back to where we started, reinforcing the theme and giving the piece a quiet sense of closure without needing to explain too much. Here's the poem. She changed the subject, like weather on the coast, sun, then thunder, then gone entirely. I asked once, then learned to wait, to watch her shift like weather on the coast. The third poem was inspired by the writing prompt, Insouciance. I wanted to capture that feeling of casual unconcern, of someone who moves through the world without letting it weigh them down. The ending here is image-based. It closes on a small, vivid moment that holds the whole mood of the piece without needing explanation. Sometimes the right image is the best exit. Here's the poem. She missed the bus, laughed, and bought ice cream instead. Mint chip, dripping down her wrist as the sun rolled its eyes and kept on shining. At the end of last week's episode, I offered an idea and a prompt. The idea, let's see what you can do with 300 characters. That's enough to hint at a bigger world, a flicker of motive, a flash of trouble. Here's the prompt, grinning under mirrored sunglasses. Here's my take on the prompt, a quick microfiction piece that tries to capture the mystery behind the mirrored lenses. He stood grinning under mirrored sunglasses, reflecting a city on fire. No one saw his eyes, but everyone felt the chill. Behind that grin was a plan no one guessed until the smoke cleared. Now, shifting gears a bit, here's a poem inspired by the same prompt. Grinning under mirrored shades, a smile sharp as glass, hiding eyes that never fade, secrets caught in the cracks. Reflection plays that silent spy while truth slips quietly by. For this week's writing prompt, I'm inspired by a real-life moment shared by an author friend named Sheila E. Young. Picture this. Her husband and son-in-law were fixing some plumbing downstairs. Three times they warned her, "Do not flush." And then she accidentally flushed and made it rain. She'll never forget their screams. That's funny. So here's your prompt. Write a story or poem about a moment when something small triggers unexpected chaos or an ending that comes out of nowhere and changes everything. Go wild. Go surprising. Show us that ripple effect. As usual, I'll share my response to this prompt on the next episode. Happy writing! Thank you for listening to another episode of Prompted, where we spark imagination one writing prompt at a time. Be sure to tune in each week for fresh inspiration. You can subscribe on our website, thepromptedpodcast.org, or find us on your favorite podcast platform.